this.
Give yourselves a hand. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. You know, I do a lot of Sunday, Monday, Tuesday type things. And I'm telling you, Chuck, this is far above average. And Sunday night was far above average for most charismatic churches. I think you want to learn to hear God's voice. Amen? Please don't drop that on me. All right. You got your Bibles. Got your notebooks. If you don't have a notebook, there is a blank page in that little brochure we gave you. Hold your Bible way up in the air like this. Man, I'm excited. I've been cooking all day. I've been waiting for this thing. All right, wave your Bible back and forth. Everybody say the devil,
devil
is under my feet,
under my feet.
By God's word,
by God's word.
And the blood of Jesus.
And the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for what you've been teaching us. And Lord, what you're doing in this hour of church history. Lord, though it's been tough and it's sometimes confusing, it's exciting because we know that on the other side, there's promised a tremendous last day revival. Lord, a harvest of souls. And Lord, regardless of what we are, whether we're in business or in school or in the ministry or homemakers, Lord, we want to be doing what you want us to do. We want to be right on the cutting edge. We want to fulfill our destiny. So Lord, I ask that tonight, as we study about the voice of God, how to hear the audible voice of God through the speaking and vocal gifts, Lord, that it would truly be activated in the hearts of each of the hearers. And Lord, they would leave here different. They would leave here with dialogue with God instead of monologue. Lord, we thank you for this by faith in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go to the Song of Solomon together in the Old Testament. The Song of Solomon, and I have a passage that has meant so much to me, and I think it's a great kickoff for what we're going to be discussing tonight. And as I always say, take notes. I'm going to say, write this down, mark that. You'll just learn more. I can't stand to go to a church and see people walking in the parking lots without Bibles. Amen? That's like little boys and girls going to school without their books. You know, that just didn't work. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Now, you know, the Song of Solomon is an interesting book, and there's different ways you can look at it. And for my personal study, I think it's fair to, in one way, look at it as a love relationship between Jesus and the church, or God and His people. Some of this, you know, you want to be careful, you know, don't want to read it all in public here. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 12. I'll let Chuck read some of these verses, you know. He's got, you know, I better not get too far into that. All right, verse 12. Verse 12 says, and I want you to mark this, it says, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse." You know, and I think that summarizes most of God's people. They're like a garden that's enclosed. There's all kind of wonderful things in there. And he's getting ready to describe all types of fragrance and incense, which are simply representative of the different graces and abilities of God. He says, but it's all closed up in there. And tonight, what we're going to be doing is we're going to open that up, praise the Lord. Bobby, would you just hop up here and help me for a second?
Sure.
Now, I'm going to push you, so don't be offended, okay?
Okay.
But stand, face that way. Here's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to be teaching on a prophecy and tongue and interpretation. Some of it you may have heard of, some of you. Most of you probably have never heard anything like it. And what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be, you see, you're charismatic and you've gone just about that far. What I'm going to do is push you over the line. Don't fall down, oh dear Lord. No catchers up. Get sued here. Broke his nose. See, I'm going to push you. It may seem a little mechanical, but what I'm doing is I'm pushing you, thanks, into a new realm, you see, of hearing the voice of God. All right, let's finish that. Verse 12. "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed." We don't want it to be that way. It says, "Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates and pleasant fruits, camphire and spikenard," and all these different fragrances. Spikenard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, "with all the trees of frankincense." And you know, all through the Word of God, incense is representative of the worship and praise and prayers of God's people that go up. But it says it's been shut up there. Myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. "A fountain of gardens, a well," mark this, "of living waters." We know what that is. "A stream from Lebanon." Now, here's what we're praying for tonight. Verse 16. "Awake, O north wind." Glory to God, that's the Spirit. "And come thou south, blow upon my garden." Everybody say it with me. Blow upon my garden. Say it out loud. Blow upon my... Say,
O Spirit
of the living God.
Blow upon my garden.
says, blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may what? May flow out. Let my beloved, that's Jesus, come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. In other words, you're going to have fellowship one with another and communicate back and forth and so forth. Amen. All right, now let's go to 1 Chronicles. Just hang a left. Go over to 1 Chronicles. And let's just review a couple of places that we looked at yesterday and get further into this realm of prophecy and prophetic utterance. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. You know, we talked about entering God's rest. Remember that? Yesterday morning. And, you know, what is God's rest? God's rest is ceasing from your own works as God did from His. Implying that you get hold of God's works and get involved with what God's doing. The only way to do that, it says, is today, if you will hear His voice. Everybody say today.
Amen.
I must hear His voice.
Hear
all right. Then last night, you see, we came over and we saw the key to David, chapter 14. Look at verse 16. David's key to success, David, mark this, therefore did as God commanded him. Verse 16. How did he know what God was commanding him? Go back up to verse 14. Mark it if you haven't done so. Therefore David, mark it, inquired again of God. He was an inquirer of God. He would go before God in praise and worship and prayers, but he would go with expectation in his heart that God was going to come back and speak to him with strategy, plans, dreams, and visions that ultimately, you see, led to his success. Look at verse 17. Because he did that, the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Now, go over to chapter 25. And, you know, it's been about 24 hours since we've been together, so we want to just review one other place here. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. And what transpired in the tabernacle or the tent of David? Remember we went through that? We saw that he broke up the 4,000 worshiping Levites into 24 one-hour shifts. And what did they do? Look at verse 1 there, chapter 25, verse 1. It says they should prophesy. Everybody say prophesy.
Prophesy.
It says they should prophesy with the harps, with psalteries and cymbals. Now, I made a point, and I want to reiterate this before we go any further, that your worship and praise, and I'm not talking about corporate here, okay? That's not my area of expertise. I'm talking about you as an individual, where you are carrying with you an atmosphere of worship and praise, singing to the Lord, and we're going to get into this more. What that does is it stirs up or fans into a flame the Spirit in you, so, and then God wants to come and begin to audibly speak out of your own lips. And I'm going to mechanically show you the mechanics of how to do that. But look at verse 2, the latter part of verse 2. It says, they all prophesied according to the order of the king. They had to prophesy. You don't know no ifs, ands, or buts about it, no feeling led at all. You're just going to prophesy. You're going to get in there, you're going to begin to praise God, thank God, and you are going to get into the realm of prophecy. Amen. Now, let's go to some new territory. 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Glory to God. I'm telling you what, folks. I tell you, listen, this could be your most important night you've ever had thus far. I'm telling you, what I'm teaching on tonight changed my life more than the initial reception of the baptism of the Spirit. Yeah. I mean, I spoke in tongues, but I didn't know what I was saying. You know, I didn't know what I was saying. Finally, when I figured out what I was saying, glory to God, I was tapped into revelation knowledge. Big difference. All right, 2 Kings chapter 3, and I want us to read a story that is quite interesting and humorous about a prophet named Elisha. And write this in your notes. What we're attempting to show in this passage, 2 Kings chapter 3, is the relationship of praise and worship to prophetic utterance. The relationship of praise and worship to prophetic utterance. There is a definite link up there. But look in verse 1 and let's get the historical background. Now, Jehoram, the son of Ahab. Everybody say, ooh. Yeah, Ahab was the bad guy and Jehoram wasn't a whole lot better. It says, Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel and Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat. Everybody say, yay. He was the good guy, you see. King of Judah and reigned 12 years. Look at verse 2. And he, that is Jehoram, wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like as his father and like as his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved unto the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and so forth. In other words, he was evil, but not quite as bad as his mom and his dad. Now go down to verse 6. He has an invasion take place, and he wants to go out to battle against them. Verse 6, "And King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah." Now, at this time, Israel had been divided, kind of like through a civil war between the north and the south. And so Jehoram is getting ready to be invaded. Look at verse 7. He says, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" And he, that is Jehoshaphat, said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." All right, look at me. Let's get the picture here. Jehoram, you know, he's evil. And he has rebellious people coming against him to battle. He says, "I don't think I can lick them myself, so I better go over here and humble myself a little bit and talk to Jehoshaphat, who does fear God, and I'll try to just temporarily have a little league here so we could go out and be twice as strong. Maybe he'll fight with me." And Jehoshaphat says, "Sure, I'll go up." But then Jehoshaphat has second thoughts, and he says, "You know, I haven't even asked God about this. So we better find a prophet." Now, coming on the scene, look at verse 11. "But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may," mark this, "inquire of the Lord by him." Please mark that. Glory to God. He had enough sense before you make a major decision to inquire of the Lord. Amen. I'm so tired of Christians. They make, you know, major goof-ups and they blame God. And God had nothing to do with it. You know? Well, God let me down. Well, he wasn't ever holding me in the first place in that situation. See, "that we may inquire of the Lord by him." Verse 11. "And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Here is Elisha." Everybody say Elisha. Everybody say yay.
Yay.
All right, now who is Elisha? Elisha is the trainee of Elijah. Gets a little confusing there. Elijah, Elisha. All right, now, Elisha does not like Jehoram, nor did he like Ahab. And so they bring him in here before this wicked guy and they say, "We need a prophecy. Preferably a good one." You know, everybody wants a good one. Look at verse 14. Now look at Elisha. Read through all the King James and look at the humor here. "And Elisha said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand." You ought to mark that. That doesn't mean he's standing on his feet. He means he spends time with the Lord. "Before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee." I mean, boy, he's telling it like it is. Jehoram says, "Can we have a prophecy? Preferably a good one." And Elisha says, "You know, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat and the respect I have for him, I would turn my back to you and I wouldn't even want to look at you, much less give you a prophecy." He's really walking in love there. No, he's walking in the Lord. Look what it says, verse 14. You ought to mark that. "Before whom I stand." You're not going to get in the realm of prophecy, accurate prophecy, unless you're spending time with God. The greatest law of success: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And that takes time. See? So he says, "You know, I don't really feel like prophesying. I don't have any goosebumps. In fact, looking at you gives me reverse goosebumps. I don't feel the prophetic anointing. I don't even want to look at you. You're ugly." I mean, that's what he was saying to the guy. Now, you look at the next verse, because in understanding, you can see how Elisha thought and how he knew the Lord would operate. Verse 15. He says, "But now bring me a minstrel." Mm-hmm. He says, "I got to get in the mood. I am not in the mood. My spirit is not vibrating right." Now listen to me. You're going to vibrate like what you hang around. Your spirit is going to vibrate like what you hang around. I tell you, you listen to some music and you come out and your spirit's just agitated. Maybe you were walking through a department store and you didn't really even hear the words, but just the noise, you just feel agitated. You see? You got to carry your own music with you. "But I don't play a musical instrument." Big deal. There's room for you. The Lord says, "Make a joyful noise." You qualify. You're going to make a noise. Amen. See? And he says, "Bring a minstrel." Why? Because he says, "I've got to have an atmosphere here that's going to get my mind and my spirit in the frame that it needs to be in order to prophesy accurately." I mean, if I gave you the kind of prophecy I wanted to, I'd say, you know, "Thus saith the Lord, I'm going to kill you. Go ahead and go to battle. You'll lose. Ha 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 ha." Come on now. You read what Ahab and all those guys did. They were bad dudes. Look at verse 15. He says, "But now bring me a minstrel." Now look at this. Mark it. "And it came to pass when the minstrel played," that means worshiping God and so forth, "that the hand of the Lord," mark it, "came upon him." Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you what. There's a vital principle right there. The hand of God. Now, see, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit in them. We've got the Spirit in us. So the hand of the Lord, you know, doesn't have to come and go. It's there, but in order. That activation can come forth through you, through this idea of praise and worship, and just worshiping God for who He is. Your spirit will start to vibrate with the Spirit of God. See? And they'll begin to give you messages, you see, that you want to hear from the Lord. Guidance and so forth. All right, now, let's go to Ephesians 5, and let's pick up the same principle in the New Testament. The same principle in the New Testament. That is that worship and praise is linked up to prophetic utterance. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and oh, they're all good. I say, well, that's a good verse. That's a good one. They're all good. Let's begin with verse 13. No, let's begin with verse 14. Amen. Some of you need to mark this one. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." Poke the person next to him, tell them to mark it. It says, "And arise from the dead." Now mark this, please mark this, everybody. "And Christ shall give thee light." Now what does that mean? A 30-watt light bulb is going to come on in front of you. No. That means direction and guidance. Write that in your notes. How can you have direction and guidance from the Lord? He's getting ready to tell you in this passage we're about to read. He says, "See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Mark that. You want to walk in the way of wisdom. God's wisdom will lead you in the realms of correct decision making. See? It says wisdom will lead you in a way that's fruitful, so forth, over in Proverbs. But how do you get it? Verse 16. "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Verse 17. "Wherefore, be not unwise." You say, well, what is unwise? You ought to mark this. "But understand what the will of the Lord is." He's repeating himself over and over. You're going to get light. You're going to get wisdom. In other words, you're going to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I want to ask a question. How many in this room really, really, really want to know what the will of the Lord is? I know you do because you're here on Monday night. And for Americans, that's wonderful. It says, "Understand what the will of the Lord is." Here's how you're going to do it. Verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine." Now, you could put anything in there. It's not just wine. Say, praise God, I don't drink. No, be not drunk with TV. Hello? Be not drunk with rock and roll, country western. Be not drunk with the news. You know, there's news. News Anonymous. You need to join that. News Anonymous. How to kick that, you know? It says, "But understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, he's going to tell you how to do it. "Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I'm so tired of charismatic. I know we use these terms interchangeable, but and this is another teaching I don't have time to develop. The filling of the Spirit is not the same as baptism in the Spirit. You know, somebody says, well, praise God, five got filled with the Spirit last night. We prayed for them. No. No. But they got baptized in the Spirit, or a release of the Spirit within them. Filling is daily. Mark that in your notes. Everybody say, filling is daily. You don't say, praise God, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost back in 1971. See? That's when I received it, 1971. No, I got baptized in the Spirit in 1971. I'm filled with the Spirit every day. How are you filled with the Spirit every day? Listen, you can speak in tongues and live like the devil. Hello? And that's what confuses a lot of people out there. There's a lot of good, for lack of better terminology, there's a lot of good, non-charismatic Christians that are just as filled with the Spirit as can be. Because filled with the Spirit has nothing to do with the gifts. Initially, filling, mark this in your notes, filling has all to do with the fruit. The baptism has to do with the gifts. The filling activates the fruit. The baptism activates the gifts. Did you get that? It's not either or. It should be both and in your life. Everybody say, I have a problem. Well, that was kind of weak. Everybody say, I have a problem. You haven't convinced me yet. Everybody say, I have a problem.
I have a problem.
I leak. Oh, you got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1971. Well, honey, you've been run dry. You got to get your tank filled up every day. Because the Greek here, it's very clear. It says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be, and the Greek is continually filled with the Spirit. Now, here's how you do that. Verse 19. I want you to circle verse 19 as a whole verse. I mean, this is the key to what I'm teaching on tonight. Because this is what you got to walk in daily. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and mark this, spiritual songs. It's just crossed over into a realm of the Holy Ghost singing through you. Well, I think a spiritual song is just anything that sounds spiritual. That's what you get for thinking. A spiritual song, mark this in notes, is a song of the Spirit. Amen? And it will come by a prophetic utterance. You know, I travel all over, and so I just appreciate so much when I run into some churches that have brand new Holy Ghost anointed songs. You know, it can change a whole meeting, Chuck. I mean, it really, I'm not trying to be mean or anything. Would you hold that? I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but, you know, to stand up and sing, this is the day, this is... I mean, I might as well be singing, she'll be coming round the mountain when she comes, she'll be coming round. I mean, you know, it has since lost its anointing for me. Hello? And I'll tell you, the way to get a congregation moving is to have a continual flow of new songs coming into the congregation. It carries a spirit of prophecy with it. See? But he says here, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Please mark this in your notes. This is so important. In your heart. Everybody say, my heart.
My heart.
Now listen, some of the translations are not very good here. The King James is usually not the best, but here it is the best. It is not speaking to one another. You can find that in Colossians, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 16. Here it is not speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If you got a New American Standard, and hopefully you got a cross-reference edition on the margin, it'll say literally speaking to yourselves. Everybody say speaking to myself. Now I'm going to prove it to you from context. Look what it says. Singing and making melody in your heart. I can't come over here and make melody in your heart. Hello? I can't make melody in your heart. I make melody in my heart. I can encourage you to make melody in your heart, but you've got to make melody in your heart. So look at the context here. He's saying, speaking to yourself, myself, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in my heart to the Lord. You know what that does? It brings what it says in verse 18, or verse 17, the will of the Lord. How? Put it in your notes. Through those spiritual songs. Songs of the Spirit. It doesn't mean you just pulled out, you know, a nice hymn book and sang number 455. It has nothing to do with it. And so you just go around with this atmosphere of singing to the Lord. Now be not concerned with your finances, says the Lord, because I know your situation that you're struggling in, and I'll meet every need that you have. Shortly it'll come to pass, says the Lord. I'm your provider. I'll bring the finances that you've been needing, saith the Lord. And I'm telling you what, you just can draw on this thing at will, and it's so powerful. Powerful. Now, I want you to hold your finger there. Don't leave there, but go with me over to 1 Corinthians 14. How to get the voice of God operating through your life, I think, is the most important thing anybody could ever teach you. You know, Oral used to always say that God told him, raise up my students to hear my voice. Isn't that what he said? I mean, if you can teach somebody to hear God's voice, I'm not for Christianity that tries to always keep people under the thumb. I believe in authority and so forth like that, but I don't believe in trying to make decisions for everybody. You know, that, you don't raise children that way. The whole point, you know, children at first, they're dependent. First, they're totally dependent. Then after becoming totally dependent, they usually become independent. then hopefully somewhere along the line they'll balance up and become interdependent. Did you get that? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to look at verse 15. We're going to get into this a little bit deeper, but I want to show you something here. Look at verse 15. It says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit." Please mark that, with the Spirit. "And I will pray with the understanding also." Now, look at this. Here's what I'm getting to. "I will sing with the Spirit." Mark that. "I will sing with the Spirit." Obvious reference to tongues there. "I will sing with the Spirit, comma, and I will sing with the understanding." For us, that's English also. Now, go back over to Ephesians chapter 5. What did he say in verse 19? Psalms, hymns, look at this, mark it, spiritual songs. Go back to what we just looked at in chapter 14, verse 15. "I will sing with the Spirit." Go back to chapter 5, Ephesians. Spiritual songs. Do you see that? It's the Spirit singing through you, in you and through you, to bring forth an understanding of that which concerns your future and your destiny. In other words, revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. Let me just give you an example. I've got a million examples of these because I just walk in this all the time. I've learned to just live in this realm. It's so wonderful. I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they had a line of people, you know, up there praying. I was going down the line, glory to God, and giving them messages, you know, and praying for them and zapping them and getting them, you know, having a good time. And I was coming back, and there was this one old lady right in the middle. You remember the commercial, "Where's the Beef?" She looked like, "Where's the Beef lady?" You know, I mean, you know, 80 years old, 90 years old, just looked like she couldn't hurt anybody, you know, and didn't want to touch her because you might break her, you know. And so, and I kept getting one word as I'd pray in tongues, as I would pray in tongues, as I would pray in tongues. A word would come to my understanding. Suicide. But it sure didn't measure up from all outward appearances. I thought, boy, she looks like, "Where's the Beef lady?" She wouldn't hurt a fly, you know. So I said, I must have missed it on that one. So I went on down the line, glory to God. And I was praying for him. I was getting words for everybody else. And I came back to this lady. I was out praying tongues. Suicide. I didn't have enough faith for it. I said, "Oh, I don't have enough faith for that." So I went on down the line, you know. Glory to God. I was coming back like this. And I got suicide. Now, the Bible says if anybody minister, let him minister as the oracles of God. Minister according to your proportion of faith is what it says in Romans 12. You know, there's a way to say suicide and there's a way to say suicide. Amen? I didn't have a faith to say suicide. I did have faith to say this. I said, "I feel like the Lord is showing me." That's a good way to put it, folks. I feel like the Lord is showing me. That leaves it open for correction. So, I feel the Lord is showing me. The devil's been trying to convince you that your life is not worth living. She begins to tremble. She begins to cry. Ooh, I knew I was in on it then. I knew that devil was getting discovered. And to top it off, way, way back in the back there, a whole group of people just stood up and go, "Oh, thank God, oh, thank God, oh, thank God." I guess that was irrelevant. I said, "Glory to God." All of a sudden, my faith went up about five notches. I said, "I cast you, devil of suicide, out in Jesus' name." Now, ladies trembling and crying, and I'm not, people usually don't fall over when I minister to them. Some guys just, they drop like flies. You know, for me, it doesn't usually happen. And I'm not in the habit of going, I'm not one of those kind of guys either, you know. Hey, listen. Hey, listen, we have had a lot of charismatic mumbo-jumbo. I believe in falling under the power. I know it happens. I've had it happen to me once in Mexico City. But I'm telling you what, we've seen a lot of stuff. I mean, look, when I've prayed for people, and when they're doing this kind of falling, making sure the guy's there, that's not God. You know, I saw this one guy at my meeting, no less. He falls down on the floor, and he's laying there. He straightens his coat. And I thought, well, that can't really be God, you know. And then he sees this big lady about to fall on him. He stands up, moves over, and lays back down. I said, we definitely got something wrong here. Listen, if the Spirit of God causes you to fall over, fine. But don't do it to try to look spiritual or holy. Okay? back to this lady. I laid hands on her, and she goes over backwards, honey. No catchers, no carpet. Wham! I said, oh, dear God. My first thought was, man, I don't have insurance for this. Like I said, I see it now. Breaks both of the old lady's hips, you know. I said, where are the catchers when I need them? First of all, I don't see in the Bible, thou shalt have catchers. Hallelujah, you know. It's not in there. That'd cure a lot of the falling out right there, you know. But, she hit so hard. It was just like a thud. I thought, oh, dear God, you know, please let her be alive. And here's the story. I'm getting back to how the will of the Lord comes through spiritual songs and the interpretation of tongues. Here's the story. After the meeting, we got together and pieced out all the things. I finally understand what had happened. Her husband of all of her life, one of those stories like they've been married 40, 50 years, you know, had died just 6 or 7 months prior, something like that. She had gone through a grieving process, which is normal, couldn't get out of it. She had been thinking about killing herself. She didn't even go to that church. She was Methodist. She walked out of there. She just knew God was alive. She got delivered that night from that abnormal grieving thing. And she knew that she had a destiny and a future yet before her. I'm telling you, it set her free. See, that's the power. Where's my Bible anyway? Amen. What did I do with my Bible? Is it up there? That's the power of tongue and interpretation. Now, I want to jump into this full force. Go to chapter 14. You can release Ephesians now. We're through with that. Sometimes I get people, they got all their fingers like this, you know. We're going to have a healing service, you know. Be set free. Hallelujah. You know. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All right, now I want you to put a bracket around verses 13, 14, and 15. I want you to put a bracket around verses 13, 14, and 15 because we're going to jump into these three verses full force. I wish I had time to teach on every gift. I don't. And I'm not just trying to say yes, tape set. I've got a full 5 hours on how to develop all the gifts. But everybody say, I need the starter kit.
I need the starter kit.
Amen, you do. Everybody say, I need the starter kit.
I need the starter kit.
Write this in your notes. The starter kit that is available to every single believer consists of the speaking gifts. And I'll itemize those for you. Every believer is to start in what I call the starter kit, which is the speaking gifts. Number one would be tongue. Number two would be the interpretation of tongue. And number three is prophecy. That's what you would commonly call the speaking or the vocal gifts. Really, they all have to be spoken at one time or another, but these are come primarily through speaking. Now, I just want to spend a moment on this because this isn't really what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to our sessions where we're going to activate this thing. That's the whole point of tonight. It's not just teaching. It's doing and training. But lest you've got this thought in your mind, I'm not sure that this is for every Christian. I just want to touch on the primary passage that causes some confusion. Go to chapter 12 and let's look at verses 28, 29, 30, and 31. Then we'll get into those three verses. Chapter 12, verse 28. Here's what causes so much confusion right here. Verse 28 says, "And God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers," or that would be pastor teachers, "after that miracles, then gifts," look at that plural, "of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." Now, a series of questions, all of them with the answer no, implied. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healings? No. Uh-oh. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Uh-oh. Got a big problem here. See, and you'll have people come to you and they say, "You see that? Not everybody's supposed to have it." Well, if that's the way that you're viewing that passage, you've got a big problem. Because go back to chapter 14 and let's hop around a little bit and I'll show you some. Look at verse 31 for starters. Chapter 14, verse 31. "But you may how many prophesy?" Look in verse 31. "But you may how many?" Say it.
All.
It says, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be exhorted. Now that's seemingly a contradiction with what we read over in chapter 12. In other words, if you view chapter 12, see there, not everybody's supposed to have this. Then you got a big mess up over there in verse 31. To top that, go to verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. And you might want to mark these. Chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, how many? Every one of you. How many? Every one of you hath a psalm. You mean to tell me some people might have a psalm and some not? No, everybody's entitled to have a psalm out of the Bible. Well, the same holds true for the rest of the list here. Everybody hath a doctrine or a teaching. Everybody hath a tongue. I had one guy say, well, that just means you got a tongue in your head. I said, thank you, Paul, for that revelation. Glory to God. Everybody comes to the meeting with a tongue in their head. No, that's not what he's saying. Look at this. Everybody, mark it, hath a revelation. Every one of you, mark it, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. Go to chapter 14, verse 5. Paul says, I would. It's really stronger than some of the modern translations are trying to be prejudiced. They say, I wish, but you really can't. You look at a good translation of the Revised Standard. I want you to. Verse 5. I would that you all, mark that word, all spake with tongues, but rather or even more that you prophesied. In other words, don't stop with tongues. Go on through interpretation and right on over into prophecy. And that gets you cooking in the revelation realm of God so you can tie into what the will of the Lord is. Now you say, well, how do you interpret back over in chapter 12? Let's go back over there just for a moment to help some people that might have honest questions. Chapter 12, what's he saying? Well, let's begin with verse 29. He's not talking about the every individual believer gifts. He's talking there about offices. Everybody say offices. Everybody say offices. Look what he says in verse 29. Apostles. That's not something you just wake up one morning and say, I think I'll apostolize today. Hallelujah. That's something that God sets you in as an office. Look at the next one. Prophets. See, there's a difference between being a prophet and prophesying. Hello? Let me ask you this question to make it clear. How many Christians can evangelize? All. Are all Christians therefore evangelists? Same thing with tongues. Everybody can use tongues, but not everybody is going to be used routinely and regularly to stand up in a public meeting and have an office of giving public messages in tongues. You see the difference there? And what I'm teaching you tonight is the private devotional usage of this tongue interpretation and prophecy to build yourself up so that you'll be in a position to help others. Because you can't give something that you don't have. All right, now back to chapter 14, and let's jump into it. I'm telling you, it's so exciting. Chapter 14, verse 13. Here is how you can operate in it. We're going to learn from Paul. If it was good for Paul, it's good for me. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 13. It says, wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue, please mark this, pray that he may interpret. Now, you see, we've always relegated that to the meeting. Well, if you stand up and give a machine gun blast in tongues, I hope you got the interpretation. That's not what you just read that in there. That's not what it says. It says, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue. I've got a question. And this isn't, you know, a let's see who's spiritual session. If you don't have tongues, you'll fit just fine in the groups. Don't worry, nobody's going to be under pressure. How many of you speak in tongues? Let me see your hands. You need to be praying that you've got the interpretation then, according to that verse. Look what he says there. Let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Pray means desire. Go after it. Covet it. Want it. Get it. And he tells you now he's going to amplify. Look at the next verse. He says, we got a basic problem here. It's called a charismatic problem. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. Please mark that. Tongues is not gibberish, it's not hype, it's not emotionalism. According to verse 14, it's my spirit praying, but, mark this in verse 14, my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, I don't know what I'm saying. So there's two basic ways to pray. With your understanding, which is a learned language. For us, that's English. If you know Spanish, it'd be Spanish, etc. Well, those mystical experiences. No. Well, put your hands back up. Everybody say, my right hand,
my right hand
represents the Holy Spirit.
My left hand
represents my human spirit. Now bring them together and lace your fingers. That's what happens at salvation. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you and seals your human spirit. But that doesn't mean your human spirit is mature. Hello? It's got the potential. Now the Holy Spirit, see, he comes in, he's so excited. Glory to God. He saw Jericho. Whop. He saw it all, man. He saw Goliath get his head cut off. I mean, he had seen it all. He was hovering and brooding over the waters. I mean, he's excited. And he comes into your old dead human spirit. He comes, oh, glory to God. Ooh, it's, wake up, wake up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't believe in that. So the only avenue he's got so far is he's trying to, you know, you're praying through your brain, but your brain is limited. You don't know everything. You've had people come and say, would you pray for me? And you say, sure, I'll pray for you. And they, you say, what is it? And they say, I can't tell you. It's private. And you go, okay, God get them, God help them. That's all you can do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a way for your human spirit to begin to pray according to revelation knowledge? Look at that verse again, verse 15. He says, my spirit. Everybody say, my spirit.
My spirit.
See, technically, tongues is not the Holy Spirit praying. It's your human spirit praying as energized by the Holy Spirit. But he says here, we've got a problem. Look in verse 14 again. He says, my understanding is unfruitful. You know, it can almost be a cop-out to pray in tongues. You know, you go to some intercession meetings and people sitting around a room looking like zombies. Come on now. I'm going to rock the boat a little bit. You might as well just buckle your seatbelt or jump out. You know, this guy over here, he's on the golf course with his mind. This guy's down at Wendy's at the salad bar. This lady's over trying to figure out, you know, what grocery list she's got to make out. But boy, they're praying in the Spirit. But God says, I don't want you to have a dumb brain. I want your mind to know by revelation knowledge what the will of the Lord is. And look at the verse 15, the next verse. This summarizes most charismatics or what some people call spirit-filled people, whatever. Verse 15 says, what is it then? Question mark. We've got a problem here. You're understanding, you don't know what's going on. What are we going to do about it? Verse 15, I will pray with the Spirit. Now, most charismatics put a period right there. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, I'll pray with the Spirit. Glory to God. You know, and they don't read any further. No, look what Paul said. He says, I will pray with the Spirit. Everybody say, comma. Everybody say, and. Everybody say, lo and behold. There's an and. It says, and I will pray with the understanding also. Are you seeing what he's doing? He's teaching you how to do verse 13. Verse 13 says you need to get the interpretation. Verse 15 is teaching you step by step how to do that. Now I want you to circle some things in verse 15. These are so important. Notice the personal pronoun I. He's not teaching for congregational usage, though you could use this principle for congregational usage. He's teaching it to the individual believer. He says, here's how I do it. Here's how you ought to do it. Paul's saying, I do it this way. Now, also underline this in verse 15. He says, I will, not I feel. It says, I will, over and over. Look at verse 15. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. Do you just wait to pray with your understanding to when you feel led? You know, you ask most Christians, well, when do you pray? I just pray when I feel led. When do you feel led? Never. Well, at least you're obedient, you know. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
Not I feel.
I will.
You know, you've got some brand of people that say, oh, I just wait till it comes on me. That is so unscriptural, it's not funny. It is not when it comes on you. It's at your... It's subject to your will. In fact, I'll just show you further. Just, let's leave there for a moment. Go to some verses further down. Look at verse 30. It's so obvious that this is subject to your will. Verse 30 says, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by... Mark this. Let the first hold his peace. Verse 29, he's talking about prophets there. In other words, if you're in a congregational meeting and you get ready to give a word and you say, "Thus saith the Lord," and somebody across the way there starts and you bump into each other, he said, then you just hold your peace and let them go ahead. It's subject to your will, and when they're through, you can come on forth with the Word of God. No shame at all in that. If it's something that just controlled you, here it comes, you know, then you couldn't hold it. Everybody say, "I can hold it."
Oh, Lord, I better not get too far into that.
Look at verse 32. Verse 32, "And the spirits of the prophets," mark this, "are subject to the prophets." Your spirit is subject to your will. So this whole thing where, you know, Sister Gertrude said, "I'm sorry, Brother Chuck, I just couldn't help it in the middle of your message. It just jumped out of my mouth." You say, "Sister Gertrude, you need to listen to Jason's tape." See, God doesn't interrupt Himself. See, all right, now go back to verse 15. See, that's what keeps, this is what I'm touching on here is what keeps a lot of people away from tongues. I mean, I grew up Presbyterian. The only thing I knew about tongues as a Presbyterian was stay away from it. Why? Because it'll come on you and get you. And you never know when you're going to get got. I mean, in my mind, I could just see myself at the grocery store paying my bill and all of a sudden, oh. Well, sorry, this happens once in a while, you know. Hallelujah. They do have medication for that, you know. Now, you see, this is all humorous and funny. You think I'm just beating around the bush. No, this is important because unless you understand this, when you're driving in your car, you're not going to know that you can yield to it at will. Or when you're walking, or when you need to hear God. I told you about when I was on the airplane in Nicaragua. I needed to hear God. If I had to wait for it to come on me, I would still be in Nicaragua. See what I'm saying? I mean, when I need to hear the will of God, sometimes it's pronto. There's other things, you know, you can wait and there's God's timing. But I'm telling you what, you know, if your child's in trouble somewhere and you get a revelation on that, boy, you better move on it. Right then. Verse 15. He says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with understanding also." So here's how you do it. Very simple. You just pray in the Spirit. And you pause and you do what verse 13 says. You pray for the understanding. Just yield yourself. Then by faith you step out. "My son, I want you to know, be not concerned about the things that are in front of you. For those mountains shall be brought low, and you will march over them in victory. Therefore, get not your eyes on the mountain, but keep your eyes on the horizon," says God. Glory to God. That was for me, see? Right there, that was for me. And I tell you, I do that about 15, 20 times a day, and man, you just are so pumped up, built up with the Word of God, because you're hearing the voice of God. Now look what he says here. You can also sing this way. And this is where some of the like David and the ministers of music here, boy, they tie into this. They can get songs from the Lord and then bring them to the congregation. Bringing in a prophetic stream into the congregation out of what they got out of their private life. Look what it says here. "I will sing with the Spirit, comma, and I'll sing with the understanding also." You do the same thing. You just lift up your voice. Elane simbarite kolane eshamare mesolana. You just go about that for a little while. Then you pause and you yield yourself. And you see, you learn to develop and cultivate this. "I will, I will, I will." And then you can just sing it back. And you got the song of the Lord. And the Lord's, you're going up and the Lord's coming down and you've got this love affair taking place where it's an actual dialogue from God. Now, I want to tell you how it works. You know, there's a lot of guys that they'll never teach you this because they want to keep you all spookified. Ooh, it just happens to a few of us. But you out there can't get it. See what I'm saying? Here's how it does not happen. Everybody say, "does not happen." You know, I heard oral teach on this and I tried to understand it, get hold of it. And I mean, nobody just spent time coaching me in it. Coaching me in it. I thought it would happen like this. I thought I'd have to speak in tongues, and then I'd probably go into a trance. And you'd see this screen appear in front of you with these words, "Thus saith the Lord, I want you to know," just like Paul Harvey, page 2, "My child, I love you. And I want you to know, what did you say? Oh, I couldn't even remember what I said. It was so mystical. See, that's not how it happens. I want you to write this down. Here's how it'll typically come to you. Here's how the interpretation will come to you. It'll come, first of all, here's how you'll usually get started when you're developing this. First of all, it'll come as a quickened scripture. When you're first learning to step out in this idea of interpretation, you'll be praying or singing in the Spirit. And as you do, a scripture or a passage will come to your consciousness. And what God is saying is, I want you to step out and paraphrase that passage unto yourself or unto that person or those people as a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. So it'll first of all begin in your life as you cultivate this as a quickened passage of Scripture. You say, well, I could have just turned to the Bible for that. Yeah, if you want to spend all the time searching it out, let the Holy Spirit just apply that word for that hour, that moment, that season. The second way it'll come to you is you might just get a single word or phrase. A single word or phrase. I remember I was up in New York, Syracuse, New York, not too long ago. And, you know, I usually get there late Saturday night, so I don't have time to, you know, talk with the pastor and, you know, get a list of all the people. Okay, what's his problem? I'll try to remember that for the meeting. Hallelujah. You know. I just get in the meeting and I see this lady sitting over there, and I'm in the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit, getting my spirit motor going, praise God. And all of a sudden, I just get family, husband, divorce. That's all I get. Family, husband, divorce. And I also got ministry. What was God trying to communicate? I said, you right there, would you just come up here? Yeah, you right there. You know, they don't want to come up there. You know, they come up there and I say, you know, the Lord's showing me that you're going through a difficult time in your family. The devil's trying to rob you. Something about the ministry is trying to be crushed. Man, she begins to break. People all over just go, oh, glory to God, oh, glory to God, oh, glory to God. I say, oh, I'm not. See? Here's the whole story. I find out afterwards. This young girl, you know, married to her husband in the ministry. They got linked up with a hyper discipleship group. You know, began to tell her and him what to do, and it was all contrary and controlling and manipulating them, tore their family apart. He was actually going to another church in the same community. They wouldn't even go to the same church and sit down together. And God initiated a whole miracle of restoration right there. Right there. See? And I'm telling you what, you can just hit it right on the head, right on the head, right on the head. So it'll come as a quickened scripture, a word or a phrase. Another way it'll come as an image. You'll just get a mental picture or image that'll pop up into your mind, and God's saying, by faith, just start with what you have and move with it. And He'll fill your mouth as you go. I remember one of the most dramatic, and I've had countless of these, but one of the most dramatic situations that the Lord used an image in my mind was where we had a young girl came to my wife and I for counseling. This is way back when I lived in Vidalia, Georgia, home of the sweet onions. Hallelujah, you know. And so she came for counseling, and you know, we said, okay, what's the situation? My wife was with me, Martha, and she says, well, you know, I'm getting ready to get married. And I said, yeah, you're getting ready to get married. We knew all about it. She was marrying a dynamic guy, you know, that loved God, and it was just the perfect setup. And she says, I've just got one problem. We weren't prepared for what we're about to hear. We said, well, what's your problem? She says, well, I don't know how to put this. She said, but I'm afraid of the intimate time of marriage. It just really turns me off and sickens me for some reason. And she says, I know we're going to have problems because of it. Dear Lord, you could spend 15 years of psychotherapy and that kind of thing. What do you say to somebody like that? You better have more than just the fruit of the Spirit. You better have the power of God. I mean, you just slap him on the back. Well, you know, he'll get over it. Hallelujah, you know. I mean, that's not going to be any good. I didn't know what to do. Man, I just drew a complete blank. I said, let's pray. My wife and I laid hands on her hand. We just began to pray in tongues, drawing, you see, on revelation. We knew, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. Just begin to pray over her. And an image came up into my mind after about 10 or 15 seconds of that. I saw a little girl in a closet, a dark closet. She was crying, had her dress on. Her dress was messed up. That's all I saw. I said, I'm going to lay this out, you know, for you to judge. I said, here's what I feel like the Lord's saying. I said, I see a little girl in a closet. She's got a little dress on. It's messed up, and she's crying. She begins to tremble and to shake and to cry. I'd forgotten. I'd pushed it out of my mind. Turns out that, here's the whole story. When she was a little girl, her parents would go on a date or whatever, and they'd take her over to her uncle's house for babysitting purposes. And as they'd all wave goodbye, you know, as they'd drive off, and then he'd take her into the room, and you can imagine the rest of it, into the closet, abuse and everything. And this had created, you see, this type of stronghold into her life. I tell you, as we took her through healing of memories and just walked her back through that, and Jesus went in and healed the brokenhearted, because it says He's the healer of the brokenhearted. She got delivered, and today they're so happy, it's unbelievable. They got just children running around, a galore. Praise God. See, I'll tell you the power of this thing. The power. I could go on and on with the stories, but we want to get to the sessions. Verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will. Everybody say, I will. Everybody say, I will. Not I feel. He says, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. One other verse, and we're going to get into our groups. Verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. It says, here's the balanced, mature Christian life. You follow after love and, mark that word, and.
Well, you can have the gifts and I'll take the love. Hallelujah.
Well, you ought to start right where you are. He says, follow after love, and please mark this word, desire. That means a realm of it is opened up to you. It's not just going to, God's just not going to pop it on you. Desire means go get it. Somebody says, well, I just really don't want it. Well, then don't worry about it. You won't get it. Hello? That's right. If you want it, you will get it. Amen. Now, who's working the tape machine? Jay, are you working the tape machine? Or somebody up in the sound booth? Put it on pause right now. The recording or wherever they're doing that. All right, I want to get what you're going to have in your walk with the Lord. Hopefully every day you're not going to get some big deal. Move to Alaska. Eskimos for Christ. Hallelujah. You know. we're not talking about directional right now, though. By developing a groove in your life of the general words, then you're going to be able to flow into the second category, which are those specific words. Okay, but I want you, as you initiate this thing in your life, to be cautious about just jumping on all these specific things. And this is not a time, and Chuck will appreciate this. This is not a time for let's get a word for everybody in the church. Amen. You need to start with yourself. Everybody say, start with myself.
Start with myself.
I don't want you getting on the phone and, you know, Sister Gertrude, I got 10 words for you tonight, you know. Well, we don't want that. Amen. I want you to start with yourself. All right, here's how you do it. Turn right now to a favorite passage in the Bible. I don't care what it is. Turn to one of your favorite passages in the Bible. You say, I don't know where one is. Psalm 91 is a good one. John 15, that's a good one. Don't turn to Leviticus or something like that, you know. And they shall flay him upon the altar. Hallelujah. You know. So just everybody turn to a favorite passage in the Bible. We're going to start in this in the realm of prophecy. Everybody say prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is simply edification, exhortation, and comfort. Ideally, it would be a timely word. It's going to be somewhat mechanical in these groups. But I told you in the beginning, I'm pushing you, you see. And you can get more of the spontaneity later. But here's how I want you to do it. We need somebody in each group to volunteer as the person who will kick it off and start it. In other words, the coordinator. You don't have to teach. You don't have to know what you're doing, really. But you're just willing to step out. Somebody in each group, raise your hand right now. We're going to start drafting quickly. Raise your hand. So I need somebody in each group to lift the hand. All right. Frank, right there. Anybody else? Okay, everybody listen up or you'll not know what to do. This is not a let's give a mini teaching session. This is not read the Bible session. It's not a discussion session. I want you to minister your word to your small group as an oracle of God. And here's how I prefer you to do it. You're going to meditate in your favorite passage. Let's just take Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You just meditate on that, and when it comes your turn, we're going to go about around to the right. We're going to do this about twice, and then I've got another level to take you to. You'll simply say this. You don't read it, nor do you share it. Hey, isn't this cool? No, you say, I feel like the Lord would say. That's safe. I feel like the Lord would say, if you'll dwell close to me and stay under my protection, I'll guard you and provide for you.
That might be all you have. And then the next person comes. I feel the Lord would say from there. And while going around the group, you're listening, but you're also turning to a new place. Or going down a few verses, and it comes back to you, and you simply give a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I feel the Lord would say. Is that clear to everybody? Now, if it comes to you and you just get stumped or you don't want to participate, just say, I pass. That's fine. And the next person pick it up. But I want it to keep going around the group until everybody's done it about twice. All right? So let me give you about 30 seconds here. Go ahead, look at your passage, meditate. And when I say go, in just a moment, I'm going to pray for you and just say go ahead. And I want the coordinators to do it and kick it off. And then around to the right you'll go. So just spend a moment there looking at your passage. Get your thoughts collected. Father, I thank you for activating the voice of God in the lives of each of these people. All right, coordinators, as you're ready, I want you to go ahead with your word, loud enough for your group to hear, but I don't want it to be so loud it disrupts the others. Go ahead and go around to the right at your own pace. All night, but we don't. How many of you heard something in your group that edified you? All right, level number two, close your Bible. I'm pushing you now. I'm pushing you to do what? To be sensitive to what God would want you to say. We're going to do the same thing. You're just simply going to tune in, ask God to quicken a verse, a passage, a phrase to you, a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And when it comes your turn, I feel the Lord would say, and you just put it in your own words. You don't worry about sounding like a machine gun, bless it. You know, spirituality is not measured by how fast you say your prophecy. Amen? I feel the Lord would say, I am the vine, you're the branches, stay close to me, and you'll bear a lot of fruit. That's it, amen. And you go around, and I want us to do that about once or twice, and then we've got a third level, all right? Go ahead and bow your heads. I want you to give you a few moments to collect your thoughts. Ask God to speak to you right now. Maybe pray in the Spirit softly, you see. And coordinators, when you feel ready, at your own pace, go ahead, loud enough for your group to hear. Go ahead. See, if I asked you if I thought you were doing a good job, you wouldn't raise your hand. But how many of you heard something in your group you thought, wow, that's pretty good? All right, put your hand back down. Level number three. Sounds like door number three. Level number three. Here's what I want you to do. Listen close now. This time, I want you to do what verse 15 says. I will pray with the Spirit. So I want you, if you have your prayer language or tongues, or if you're comfortable with that, I want you to out loud pray out loud in the Spirit with tongues, pause, ask God for the interpretation. Notice it's not called a translation. There's a difference. Translation is word for word. Interpretation is just like a paraphrase. Ask God for the understanding. I feel the Lord would say. Now, if it comes to you and you don't have tongues, you don't feel comfortable doing that, do what you just did. I feel the Lord would say, and just give a prophetic edification, exhortation, comfort to your group so everybody can be involved on that. Amen? If you just get stumped, say, I pass, and ground you go. And this is not, let's see who's most spiritual. This is, I'm pushing you. I know it's a little mechanical, but I'm pushing you, hopefully, into a new realm. Amen? All right, close your eyes. Let's have our eyes closed. Have a few moments to get your thoughts together and coordinators when you feel ready. If you feel comfortable, I want you to pray aloud in the Spirit for a moment and then loud enough for the group to hear it, then come back with the interpretation. Go ahead at your own pace. Group, let me see your hands. How many of you feel like this has kind of activated something new in your life? Let me see your hands. All right, now listen. It's something that you have to, and I'm going to use the word, you have to practice. I'm not afraid of that word. You have to practice, you have to cultivate it, you have to desire it, you have to use it. Paul told Timothy, he said, you've got to stir up the gift. You know, if you quit using a muscle in your body, it'll grow weak, and people have had casts on their arms. You'll look at that particular leg or arm, and it's actually smaller because it's not been used. These gifts have to be utilized, and they'll grow in your life. So what I want you to do tomorrow, I want you to get in the habit of, as you're driving, prophesying to yourself, interpreting to yourself. Why? Because you need edification, you need exhortation, and you need comfort so that you can in turn be a blessing to those that your life touches. And I tell you, it's wonderful, 10, 12 times a day, just to draw on the wisdom of God. My son, my daughter, I would say unto you, and you're communing back and forth with the Lord, will you get an interpretation every time? No. When you're beginning it in the first, you're not going to get one every time. It says, pray that you may interpret. Just desire and yield to it. But you'll find as you yield to it, it'll become so that at will you can draw on the mind of the Lord. When you need a specific word, do this or that, don't do this, turn to the left, turn to the right, you'll have a groove that's been developed in your life and in your spirit that God can indeed come in with a spirit directional, a specific directional word. Amen. Does that make sense? How many of you are going to say to the Lord tonight, not to me, that doesn't matter to me, how many of you are going to say to the Lord, I'm going to develop this in my life? Well, then I feel like I've done a good job. Amen. Pray. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, you can go back to your seats. And we're just about through. If you'd be seated. Everybody say, God is good. Everybody say, the voice of God is alive in me. Amen. I want to thank you so much for letting me be here. This is my home church. You'll see me from time to time. You'll see Martha more than me. But I'm not going to put you in a bondage about this like some people would say, pray for me 15 minutes a day. Let me just put it this way. When I come across your mind, would you pray for me? Lift your hand. All right, thank you. And anybody that wants to sign up as a partner, leave this on the table in the foyer. God bless you. Chuck, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want us to just stay very sensitive to the Spirit at this time and let the Lord just finish out here. We are finishing out, but we got a couple of very important things that we need to do here as we finish out. And so just release your faith with me right now towards Brother Jason. And Jason, I just want to ask you to stand, if you would, again, please, brother. I know you've been standing for a long time, and I know how your body feels sometimes after you've been standing ministering. You feel good tonight. Well, praise God. You've caused us to feel good tonight by your obedience in the Holy Ghost. And I want to just release this word of prophecy that I have over Brother Jason. And I want to release it not just with my faith, but with the faith of this entire body. Your home fellowship that loves you and wants to nurture you in the Spirit and wants to cover you and keep you through intercession and prayer. But the Lord has been saying to me throughout the evening tonight some things, and then He's just begun to speak some things at the end here. One of the things He showed me earlier, as you were singing tonight, as you were teaching, I heard your voice in the Spirit, and I heard even in the natural that your voice has gotten better. You've said, and I've heard you say this before, you've said, I wish that I could sing more. I wish that I could sing more in the ministry in the area of teaching because it would be a help. And the Lord says, even as you have obeyed your spiritual senses, you have operated and walked in the natural exercise of your vocal cords, of your physical vocal cords. And He says, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and through your obedience to exercise these vocal cords, that you are singing. And you are a pleasure to Him, and your voice is a pleasure to the body of Christ. And you will sing messages in the Spirit, and you will sing prophetically before the body. All over the world, you will sing His love song to the body. And you will release them through this prophetic song into a new dimension of the supernatural realm, into a new dimension of the realm of praise and worship. And out of this ministry of worship and praise unto Him, into a dimension of operating in His mind. And His mind shall be manifest through His body because of your obedience, both in the supernatural realm of teaching and in the physical realm of singing to Him with your physical vocal cords. And the Lord says, you are blessed with His voice. Use it, and He will even increase it. At the same time, He says, I am increasing the anointing that is on your life. And even at this time, as I have shown you and as it's been witnessed abroad through many other messengers of my Spirit, that there is a changing of the mantle, a changing of the guard, and there's the next generation of prophets and instruments being raised up to shape the church for the next generation. So you have been chosen of His Spirit to do that very thing. And that He is raising you up with wisdom and understanding, not only to teach His people, but to teach His teachers, to teach His ministers, to teach His evangelists. And He has given you a balanced spirit, and a spirit that is just and pure and noble before Him. Yes, you have an excellent spirit that has been fashioned by the Lord, and you have taken hold of His grace, even to move out into that ministry that He has ordained you to walk in. And through much preparation, the Lord has found you worthy. He has found you worthy, and the foundation is sure, and you shall move on now into this next phase, This next phase shall involve many others being fitted together to you. Many others being fitted together to you. They shall be fitted even corporation by corporation, corporate structure by corporate structure. For there'll be more than just individuals fitted to you. There'll be whole churches fitted to you. There'll be whole structures of the body of Christ that will all of a sudden lock into place. And you've said, Lord, the vision is so grand. It's so great. Lord, I don't know how you're even going to piece it together. The Lord says that large pieces of the structure, the living organism of His body, is going to lock in now. Going to begin to lock in. Some of these larger churches and some of these larger organizations that have come to a place, and there's been a shaking. I see there's been a shaking, Jason, in some of these organizations. And they've come to a place where they can't continue any longer limiting the Lord. And they're going to look for a man that they can be joined to that has a balanced ministry and that is well proven. And many of these ministries, the Lord, by His angels and by the direction of His Spirit, is going to draw across your path, and they're going to be fitted together with this ministry the Lord has given you. The Lord says that you didn't think this vision up. You didn't think up this thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He says you didn't think it up because it would be more comfortable for your flesh. He ordained this thing for you that you might be like the piece of the wheel in the middle of it. You're a part of the axle, Jason, in the middle of this wheel. Now, the wheel doesn't look very balanced right now, and that's been disturbing you. It doesn't look very balanced. But He says, you're in place. You are in place, my son. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Just stay there, the axle, and I'll form the wheel around the axle. I'll form the wheel around the axle. You keep your eyes on me and stay still, and I'll form out the rest of the wheel, and it's going to roll smooth, son. It's going to roll smooth. But let me tell you this, as I start to roll it smooth and as I smooth it out, it's going to roll fast. It's going to roll fast. And you just stay right in the middle. You stay right in the middle and let it roll all around you. As much as it will roll around you, just let it roll around. But you stay still. Stay still. Stay still. Stay still. Don't you get to trying to roll the wheel. You stay still. Let it roll around you. Let it roll around you, and you stay still. And I'm going to do this thing, says the Lord, because this vision is of me, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to enjoy it. And the pressure is going to be off of you. It's going to be off of you because I'm going to cause the rest of the wheel to take the balance of the load. And each part of the wheel being perfectly round is going to take the load, and it's not going to be on the axle. It's going to be on the wheel where the whole body comes together and is fitted together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah.
I needed that so bad.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I just felt the weight of the whole world drop off of you just now.
I tell you, Chuck, we really didn't even get to talk. I mean, you know, Monday you're running in and coming. I needed that so bad. Wow. That, I'm telling you, that was so on. I mean, it's like God's been reading my mind. I mean, He has been reading my mind, you know. But I mean, I've been teaching on this stuff. I mean, it works, doesn't it? Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you don't know how thankful I am that He let me do that, because all this time you've been up here these last three services just shooting bullseyes at every one of these people with all this prophetic knowledge. Now, God, I ain't teaching. I'm not prophesying like that. Jason's prophesying better than I am, and I got to go on behind him now when he gets out of here, and I'm not getting it that straight, you know? So the Lord just helped me just then by giving you that word. Huh? I just greased the axle. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise. And we all have a tendency, you know, to just a little bit fall into it. I love Brother Jason. I just desire my heart, and God knows it's the truth, for him to excel beyond anything I could ever do in the Spirit. But I was just sitting here watching him last night, and I said, my God, look at that, you know. He just boom, 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 and I just wanted to walk over here and just brush up against the hem of his garment, you know, and let that anointing. So I really praise the Lord that He let me give you that word tonight. Not just because it encourages me for what He's doing in my life, because I really desire to see this man set free of the weight and the tremendous pressure that he's been under, because his heart is so for the world. And I want to reaffirm to you, all of you, he said it just now, but we don't have time, really, to get together and try to talk about, you know, I mean, you know, you hear sometimes that these charlatans,
have these great memories, and somehow or another they get a hold of all this information and find out all this stuff about people, and they go in and act like it's the Lord, you know. But literally, I hardly ever get a chance to talk to people that come here. When you hear them give prophetic words, it's just the Lord, you know. And then after the meeting, we go out to Shoney's, and I say, well, remember the lady with the white hair that with the blue dress? This is where she is. And the guy goes, you don't mean it. And remember the guy with the red tie? You don't mean that. You know, I mean, they can't, in their natural mind, hardly believe that it's God doing this. And so, you know, I don't know if the devil's lying to you, making you think that it's a fake. I just wish you could be in my shoes, because my faith is just going, whew, you know, because I know it's God. And I just praise God. Now, tonight, we're going to take an offering again. And, you know, just like the Lord said about that wheel, just like He said about the wheel, each one of us taking on the part that he means for us to play, let's do that in the offering tonight. Let's just ask the Lord, and like we've heard teaching, you can purpose in your heart, but there are times that you can ask the Lord and get a word of instruction from Him as to what you are to do financially. And that's what I want us to do tonight. I want us to ask the Lord what He would have us to do for this offering tonight. And Lord, I just thank You that You've sent Brother Jason into our midst again with the next piece of the puzzle, with the next ongoing part of the understanding that we've needed, and so much power has been released here tonight as we've ministered to each other. And Lord God, even as I sat there tonight with the little group that I was in, I saw how this is going to relate to our care group ministry and the next care group meeting that we're going to have, and how it's going to be released. And I thank You for giving us instruction and wisdom so that we know how to use and utilize the gifts and these tremendous tools, and not let them work against us, but continue to work with them and through Your authority and Your word and Your understanding, so that we can move on out and just take giant steps in what You've called us to do for You in these last days. Now, Lord, I thank You that My sheep do hear Your voice, and they do know You, and they do follow You. And I thank You, Lord, that as we minister to You tonight, that it'll be a blessing to Brother Jason, and this is going to lift the burden off of him. He doesn't normally say this, but I know through his secretary today that there's some bills that they're just really just about maybe a couple of days behind on. And Father, I ask that the blessing of the finances will just pay these bills and take care of the rest of the next month and a half of bills that would come into his ministry, Lord Jesus, because this is our ministry. And I know that when we release finances to bless Brother Jason and this ministry to the world, that it's going to release Your hand in our midst, individually and corporately. And we thank You for this opportunity to give tonight. Just speak to our hearts and let us obey You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just take a minute and listen to the Lord, and whatever He tells you to do, just do it. I get tickled when Brother Norval Hayes says the big figure is God. you know, I mean, that has been the case with me a couple of times, as a matter of fact. But just do what the Lord tells you to. I give this word of testimony that some 18 months ago now, the Lord led me just out of the blue to give Brother Jason's ministry a $6,000 or $7,000 check. And that was the key that opened the door for us to walk into this complex for $100,000. And just now, in a few months, we'll have this place completely paid for, and our new youth ministry place built out. And I just tell you, that's a miracle. If you don't know what a miracle that is, just check with some pastors that are trying to raise $800,000 for a building a third this size.